Look at the laws of halbanas panim, which is the laws that relate to embarrassing somebody else. Halbanas panim, from the word lavan, to make a person's face white. So we have a concept called kavod habrios, which the concept of kavod habrios, which generally means kavod, the honor of brios, which technically we just translate simply as how a person should deal with general day-to-day living. And we're concerned with the way a person might be embarrassed in certain areas for certain things. In scenarios where there are isuri derabanan, where there are rabbinic injunctions, rabbinic laws on things, in the case of kavod habrios, the rabbis say we'll forego our halachos derabanan, the halachos derabanan that we established for Klal Yisrael, we'll forego those in order for the sake of kavod habrios. Classic case in the Gemara is if a person's wearing shatnes derabanan, not doraisa, but shatnes derabanan, and they don't have to, and they realize that if they rip their shirt off, they're going to be embarrassed. So in that case there, they can go home. So you can't take away kavod habrios on doraisa scenarios, on biblical scenarios, but on drabanan scenarios you can. If a person, if there was an issur of carrying on Shabbos, and they needed somehow to get toilet paper to use in the bathroom, so there would be leniency on that. In a scenario, it would be an issur drabanan. So in issur drabanan, there are leniencies because we're very much concerned with a person's, I don't have a good translation of kavod habrios, their dignity. Thank you, of their dignity for that. So, when we talk about dignity, oftentimes we refer to it as not embarrassing somebody else. You embarrass someone in public, or you embarrass someone in private, that's usually referred to. But there's a general concept of dignity where a person might get embarrassed even if you didn't do anything, and even if they caused it themselves, you want to try to avoid getting them to be embarrassed. So there's an incident down with the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish, when he was in his apartment building, he heard his neighbor yelling at his wife. They were in a fight, screaming at each other, and as he heard that, he ran out of the house, and he ran out of the building, and he ran down the block. And the person that was with him, followed him along, and he said, "What are you doing? Why are you running away?" So he said, "The fact is, I know this guy. I know the guy who's yelling at his spouse over here. I'm concerned that perhaps he's going to see me, and he's going to recognize that I was right there. Either I was next door, or I was in the hallway." And it would cause him tremendous embarrassment to know that I knew that he was in a fight with his wife. Again, the guy caused it himself. But because of the fact that it would have caused him embarrassment, therefore you want to try to avoid doing whatever you can to prevent embarrassing of somebody else, even if it's their own thing that they're doing. We have this many times when it comes to different areas of mitzvos, where some people are not at the level of keeping those mitzvos, and you are at that level, you want to make sure that that person doesn't actually feel embarrassed in those things, even though they're the ones that are doing it, and it's their, we'll call it instigation, if you will. They're the ones that are living at that level. They know they shouldn't be embarrassed. They're doing it. It's not true. Many people are embarrassed, and it requires a level of sensitivity for us. So here we have this incident with Chazon Ish about this level of sensitivity. The Torah tells us, which we just learned last week, that you have to rebuke your fellow, and this is all in that same pasuk of the way you, those three psukim over there. You have to rebuke a fellow, that we said over there, that you can't hate your fellow, you have to rebuke him if they've done something wrong to you, and you cannot bear the sin. So Chazal tell us over here, Yachal afil upon of mishtanim. You might think that you have to rebuke a person even if they're going to be embarrassed. Talmud Lomar lo tisel avcheit. No, you can't rebuke them if you know it's going to embarrass them. Rather, you have to do it in a subtle way. That teaches us even in a scenario where a person does need to rebuke someone because of a sin that they're actually doing, you have to do it in such a way where they're not going to actually be embarrassed. Afil dvar mitzvah, yesh lizar min liyav esh azazulus. Even if it's for a mitzvah, you have to be careful as to how you're actually going to do it. Lefikach lo yachachena barabim. Therefore, don't do it in public. If neisha yisbayish, because the person is going to be embarrassed in that scenario. Afilu b'yachid yidaber imo lo yidaber imo kashos v'yachlimenu. Don't speak in such a harsh term that it's going to cause him to actually be embarrassed. Now, many times we've had this where you and I, or whoever it is, we've said something to someone else, thinking that we're doing it in the nicest way, but the other person took it very hurtfully and is very much embarrassed by these things, and you never know. At the same time, there is a level of tochacha that's involved that a person has to be able to give it to help a person get back on the track that they're actually doing. So it's true, many times people feel that they're being pinpointed or being attacked in certain things, and you have to know what the scenarios are. It's not a simple thing. But medvarim, what are we talking about though? Ben adam lechaveiro, that only comes to interpersonal mitzvos when it comes to the way you're going to deal with halchacha rebuke. But divrei shemayim, imochicho so b'seisav lechazavo, if you have rebuked a person quietly or privately and they did not repent, bezin v'shluchei machlimim oso b'rabim. Wait a minute. So if we're talking about laws between you and Hashem, mitzvahs between you and Hashem, and you've tried already and doesn't listen, then actually, in fact, Beis Din does rebuke the person in public. They would even embarrass this person in front of him. And we degrade him till he does tshuva. Like all the prophets did. What the prophets did, they gave public rebuke to people to change their ways. Okay, so the question is going to be, of course, can we do that now? Nowadays we say, Chazanish has said that nobody knows how to give rebuke, and most people don't know how to take rebuke, so it obviously becomes much more difficult. but we see that technically there is a concept over here that we're not just going to let it sit idly by and let people do things, but in fact we have to rebuke them. Perhaps you'd say, yeah, but when it comes to a Navi, they're doing it in a public fashion, it's not pinpointed at one individual. So yet at the same time, we have to know that when we are embarrassing these things, it's not easy. But we have to be able to somehow accept that this is also the will of Hashem, that Hashem is doing this. Kol ha'mal ben p'nei chavei Abraham, if you embarrass your friend in public, ilu shoveich dam, we've discussed it many times before. It's as if you've killed that person, m'nei she'adam esamik ha'machvir, min elbon v'dom kilu nishbach dam. His face turns red, then turns white. It looks like as if he's lost his blood. Person who is on a continual basis embarrassing people and degrading them, and then the person gets embarrassed, that person goes to Gehenna. And they don't come out. That person who's continually just embarrassing people right and left, they have no share in the world to come. Does that mean a person can never do tshuva? As we discussed, even though on the surface the Mishnah seems to say that certain people can't do tshuva, but in fact, there's an element where tshuva is certainly possible in almost all cases, if not all cases. Amr Chacham and Zichron of Racha rabbis have told us, Nochol Adam Shiapel Asam Kibshon H. We know the story of Tamar and Yehuda, that it's better for a person to allow themselves to be thrown into a fire instead of embarrassing somebody else. So we find that Tamar did not want to say that Yehuda was the one who she was with. And she only said in a hinted fashion over here. Therefore, they say it's better. Some say it's better for a person to be killed rather than to actually embarrass somebody else and to cause this type of damage to somebody else. It's important to know we have this also in cases with parents. When a parent asks a child of something, and the child is now going to incriminate the other parent, so it's like the father says to the son, "Why'd you go do this?" Mom told me to. Oh, I'm going to let her have it, right? I told your mother never to let you do this, right? So in that scenario, the child is actually not supposed to say, "Mom told me to do it." The child is actually supposed to say, "Whatever, it was my mistake. I shouldn't have done it." Because otherwise, it's going to cause strife between parents. It's going to cause this, perhaps even embarrassment or worse that can happen. So therefore, a child in truth is not supposed to actually say the truth in that scenario, because it's not of kavod to the other parent to be able to do that. But this, of course, needs introspection in all scenarios to figure out when a person should embarrass, when a person should allow themselves to be embarrassed, and when they can give tochacha, appropriate rebuke, in a way that it shows the other person that they care about the other person, not just simply to stop them from sinning.